Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 7-9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a workload is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 7-9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a workload is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You never really know someone until you find out what they've buried. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
The other overwhelming shade of gray that looms over the Karen Reed trial, a man named Michael Proctor, who's going to be having his final disciplinary hearing coming up this next week, very likely to lose his job in that process. But he's still going to be a part of this case. He was a part of it as a lead investigator. We saw him on the stand, and that didn't work out so well for him. And I would say, you know, cast such a doubt across the rest of this case. Had there not been the Proctor factor, I don't know that the rest of this would really have the weight that it does. The Chloe, the fight, and all that. But because of his improper actions, it kind of makes everything that comes out of the police work look very, very questionable. Are we going to have that same problem round two?
We're going to have that same problem. I still think the prosecution should put him on, midway through the trial. Certainly don't let the defense put him on and, let that happen and look like the prosecution was hiding it. So they're going to have him on. It's a problem for the investigation just because he looks biased. You know, he spent 16 hours and he already came to a conclusion. But, you know, Tony, and for your audience, this was so obvious when you have somebody admitting they hit them. You've talked to ER people who said she came in and said she hit him. You have taillight pieces. You clearly see that, in my opinion, he went backwards according to the report and hit his head, you know, causing that cranial fracture, those, you know, parallel bruising under the eyes are what people who conduct homicide investigations know are caused by brain bleeds. They're not they don't look anything like what somebody looks like when they're punched. You know, you don't have those unilateral look. Tony. So here he is seeing all of that. And, you know, they went into the house that day, so he knew about all of that information. nothing being out of order, the people discussing what happened. So I'm just saying this was not a complicated case, honestly, but it's been turned into a very complicated case.
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of it is through the conjecture and the actions of Trooper Proctor. He was involved in a lot more cases just beyond this one, and just a few of note, the Brian Walsh case, Anna Walsh, who went missing at the very beginning in 2023. I don't know that he had a whole lot to do with that other than being at the beginning of this. I think Brian Walsh kind of sowed his own destiny with his Google searches. But yeah, the Sandra Birchmore one, and that's the one that a lot of people are questioning, with him being one of the initial people to respond to that, and then it also being issued as or written down as a suicide when it clearly wasn't, and it clearly would benefit another officer if it wasn't, if it was ruled a suicide and not ruled a homicide, and he was a part of that. That's another whole ball of wax, and we've talked about it, but certainly coming into play here. And will probably come to play, I would think, in his disciplinary hearing at some point.
Well, I don't know. I don't think he had a huge role in the Sandra Birchmore case. She lived in Canton, Ohio, in Canton, Massachusetts, of course. And he responded as a part of the state police because, of course, anytime there's a murder there, that's their protocol. But I don't believe he was not the lead detective or anything on that case. But you're right about Brian Walsh, and I think you're right about every other case. If I'm a defense attorney, I'm going to try to turn up everything I can to discredit him and to try to get my maybe convicted guy out of prison or woman based on, you know, bad acts that he might have done. So I've always said that, you know, they could be digging. But let's keep really everything in line. Because Proctor is an accused. There was nothing in the evidence that he planted anything. Mm-hmm. There was nothing in the evidence that he did, you know, falsified police records or lied. Nothing. What he did was speak badly about Karen Reed to high school buddies and family. Mm-hmm. And that was all wrong. But it's important to understand what he's really accused of doing.
Yes, and there's a lot of questions, too. I mean, there's a lot of unanswered questions about his involvement. I mean, it certainly does not look good when you are at the scene of some of these other cases that are in question. And whatever role you played, whether it's large or small, it raises a lot of questions of whether you made the decision to, if somebody lied about something, if you went along with it, were even aware of it, did that. I mean, there's just so many things that do not look good on this man. Do you see his future in law enforcement being over after this hearing?
A good question. I've seen people do far worse, sadly, and not lose their career.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just true.
Yeah.
The litmus test in a lot of cases are, did you do something illegal? Mm-hmm. That's what usually will cost your job. If you lie, that will cost you your job. So you can't lie and you can't do something illegal. But he didn't lie that we know of, and he didn't do anything illegal that we know of. What he did was he unethically spoke about a subject in his case, which made him look completely biased and not open-minded after 16 hours of investigation or so in a hit and run type situation. So Tony, that, you know, like I said, we don't know what else they've uncovered, though.
Yeah.
Could he have been involved in something illegal or something lying? Now, if that happens, you know, he's gone for sure. If it's only because of the statements he made, what I could see happening is him being put in, say, you know, some sort of administrative capacity. But I think the chances that he would be a non-Giglio, non-Brady law enforcement officer ever again, no. Remember, each law enforcement agency, they have their Giglio box, Tony. They have their box of agents and officers that can never testify ever again because of something they've done. That would be him, but they don't fire them.
Yeah, but you couldn't keep someone like in that role because you'd want your lead investigator to be able to testify if it came to that yeah. case. So, yeah, it would probably have to be something else. I guess, there's, you know, there's pensions, there's retirement and all that. My other thought was, why, just for himself, why not just step away? Why not step down? Why not move away? Because you're forever tainted here in this community. Maybe a fresh start somewhere else. But he seems to be sticking to it, at least for now.
Well, I think all of these people are so entrenched there. You know, Canton is such a beautiful town. That whole area really is just gorgeous. It's out of a Norman Rockwell, you know, photo. Mm-hmm. It's just beautiful there. And I think most of the people who live there are very entrenched. You know, they're generational inhabitants. They're not transitory. This is not L.A.
Yeah.
This is, you know, and it's I think that that's why he doesn't leave. And the other reason is, and I truly believe this, I think he thinks he hasn't done anything wrong.
Yeah.
When you think of something like stealing or lying or falsifying a report or planting evidence, he knows he hasn't done any of that. Mm-hmm. Or
he thinks he hasn't.
Right.
Yeah.
And so he knows he's made terrible statements, unforgivable, right? Mm-hmm. But he doesn't see that as a fireable offense, so I think he's digging in.
Yeah. It'll be fascinating to see what happens. Do you think, could there be anything that comes out of the Proctor investigation itself when they're having that hearing with him that could affect the Karen Reed case? I mean, could they come across some interesting pieces that affect the outcome of that one if they were to bring it up?
I think they could. I mean, potentially. Mm-hmm. Like I said, all we know is what the federal investigation came up with. Mm-hmm. But we don't know everything that they have looked at with Proctor. And typically, they're going to dig deep because they don't want any further embarrassment to their department. And they want to make sure that there's nothing else out there. So I think this will be very interesting to see if they found anything more than what they're already looking at.
Strap in and get ready to go back in time. Gen X Time Machine is here to transport you back to the glorious days of neon, big hair, and cassette tapes that always needed rewinding.
To figure out where Tupperware went wrong, we kind of got to start at the beginning.
Remember when MTV actually played music videos? Or when lunch wasn't complete without Dunkaroos? Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit like trying to recapture the magic of a bygone era.
Yeah.
We're diving into all that and more. So if you want to relive the 80s and 90s in all their retro glory, hit up Gen X Time Machine wherever you get your podcasts.
VHS is looking like the obvious winner, right?
Oh, and don't forget the rise of the video rental store, remember?
Subscribe, because who doesn't need another excuse to avoid adulting? You're welcome, the Gen X Time Machine.